wanted to give the church an update on that young man I mentioned that was Greenville Light and Power, that was electrocuted. And he is home. He got home yesterday. And that's just a miracle of the Lord. And so remember him and his little wife, and that he'll continue to just get better and better. Anybody else tonight? Prayer request on their heart. Yes, Dwayne. Okay. We'll remember that, Dwayne. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Stacy. Okay, Brenda. Okay. Amen. Yes, Pam. Yep. Co-worker. Okay. Okay. Remember KJ, she's sick right now, not feeling great, so let's pray we get her back. Yes, brother. Cindy. Yeah, remember Cindy. Yeah, Rusty, remember Rusty? And then John Augustus. Yeah, John's had a few Sundays here he's missed. That's very unlike John. Okay, yeah, Miss Lester this morning. There's Jack. Good to see Jack quit back with us tonight. Good to see you, Jack. All right. Wednesday night, we will be having a choir practice instead of church. So all those in the choir, we need you here Wednesday night. So there'll be actually no service Wednesday night, but those in the choir need to be here because we sound a little rough. Just teasing. It'll be as good as it's going to be, right? Amen. We'll sing for God's glory, and it'll all be good. Amen. Let's take up our Sunday night offering. God, thank you, Chris.
Number two. in this old sinful world. Hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation, so oh Lordy, tell me, where could I go to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? In a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, oh Lordy, tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend who helped me in the end. Oh Lordy, tell me, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go but to the
chance one time to go down to Nashville. Y'all want the rest of that story, don't you? My daughter Amy sang with a group called Reflections from Daniel Boone High School, and they went down every year to do cut a record, and we were down there and they were doing The Lighthouse, and she didn't have enough bass on The Lighthouse, and Tom would have been envy of this. And the person who was directing the choir asked me if I would do the bass part on that Lighthouse. Y'all know that bass part, don't you? And it's about two words. I got on that tape by singing that two or three words of bass. Life's good. Okay, I'm going to read one verse of scripture if you want to read with me. It is found in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5. Matthew 23 and verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the border of their garments. Let's bow our heads. We'll ask God to bless this verse of scripture and this message tonight. Lord, we are so grateful to be back in your house. We're thankful, Lord, that we get to serve you inside this house, but Lord, we want to serve you outside this house. There are many lost people who need to be won to you, and we want to be those that do that. Lord, I pray that you'll give us opportunities and give us the courage to step out and do it. Because, Lord, we want as many people as will and can go to heaven with us. And we know that time is running out. And we just praise you, God, for what you're going to do here this evening. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. That verse of scripture really has to do with everybody. No one's left out of this. Because it talks about something that where we have a desire for more than we should have for something. A desire for rank or fame or power or, you know, just to reach a particular point in our life that we would be so ambitious that we would get our eye off of what God wants us to be. And once you get, there's nothing wrong with ambition at all. It's when we take ambition higher than we need to take it, because then we begin to step on others with that ambition. We begin to not listen to God, because Satan is just looking for a place where he can jump in and use how we think. And if how we think is that we're being overly ambitious for this life, then Satan's going to jump in and he's going to do it. That would be of anything, any activity or exertion of any kind in any programs in the church or outside the church, wherever that we are. Ambition is linked closely to pride. I suppose that's the reason that the Lord would have us to be careful about our ambitions, is because it is linked to pride. And pride, he says more about than anything that I know of in the Old and New Testament. If there's anything that we desire to have over and above the necessary, I think God has given us a line where we can draw of what is necessary. And once we step over that and push for more, and I'll show you how easily that is here in a second, but anytime we step over that line and push for more than what God has given us that is necessary to live, then we are being too ambitious for a good Christian life down here. And there are three different things that I believe that we could group these into that we're more ambitious. And the first one would be material goods that we have down here on the earth. Probably the number one would be the material goods that we have down here. Let me read you a couple of verses of scripture. He says, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." Do we know what he's talking about there? I think we do, don't you? I think he's talking about people who want to build and build and build until there's nobody else but them. Who wants to buy a field, join the next field, the next field, and the next field. There's nothing wrong with buying a field. There's nothing wrong with joining it with another field if you get an opportunity. Nothing wrong with that. It's when we get so ambitious that we want the next field and the next field. We have no reason to have it. It's not necessary. You don't have to have it to survive. It's just that you continue to go buying one house after another or field to field until you own the whole block, the whole countryside. Well, that's not what God says is where we need to be. If a man gets 1 acre, he tends to want 2. If he gets 1,000 acres, he tends to want 2,000. I'm just talking about the human nature. That's where we are. We have to fight these things. If you were able to buy a city, you'd want 2 cities. right? Because you'd be able to buy one. And if you're able to buy one, you'd be looking for financing for the second one. That's the human. Y'all remember a man by the name of Rockefeller? Now, some of the younger people won't, unless you're in history or something, Nick, you know about Rockefeller? Rockefeller, I'm not sure how many million he was worth, but he's probably one of the first men I ever heard of growing up that was one of these millionaires or billionaires they have now. I don't know when they'll get to the trillions, but anyway, he was so rich he needed absolutely nothing, and he continued to get more and more and more. Well, you know what happened to Mr. Rockefeller? He went to the office one morning. He never went back home. He died suddenly in his office, having multi millions of dollars. And there's a verse of scripture that I'd like to bring to your attention. When that happens, whose then shall these things be? Who's they belong? Who they belong to? He probably had a will, and everybody wanted to be in it, but he wasn't in it because he continued to grow and grow and grow his wealth until one day he went to the office and it was over. His wife, if he had one at that time, I don't know, I didn't look up his history, but if he had kids, the kids were there, were all looking for him to come back home and talk about what all he had, because they would be next in line for it. You know how you do when there's a whole lot there. Somebody is standing in line for it. And that probably happened to him. I just know how quickly it happened that he died in his office. There are stories in the Bible that we hear of this happening. The rich farmer, he began to lay aside and build barns and barn after barn after barn. And he got so to where he said, man, I am one rich dude. I don't need for nothing. I'm just going to quit what I'm doing and lay back and take care of myself. I'm just going to take it easy. Didn't happen. You see, we're not in control. That's why God doesn't want us to get too ambitious, is that we take it to the extent and we don't know how to control it. God's in control. We need to look to him because he's the one who's going to control it. In fact, Satan tempted Christ with this sort of thing. He told him what he could do. If you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms and their glory. That's one time Satan was outsmarted, wasn't it? That wasn't what was going to happen. We know that because Matthew says, for what is a man profited? Here's where he's given us a verse of scripture that we can begin to think about where we are when we get too ambitious with what we have. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, that I know that's a very simple statement, but it's a very complex statement at the same time, because when you pull the word profited out of there and you pull the word soul out, you got two things you got to deal with here. You got to deal with the profit. What kind of profit are we talking about? If you're a business person and you're talking about profit, it's not just profit, it's how much profit. And if you're going to make that much profit on that, how much more profit could you make if you did this? How much more profit could you make? Because profit is something that swells. It's not something that just stays put. You either lose or you gain. And so he says, for what is a man profited? Because man looks for profit. He does. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul. And how much is his soul worth? His soul is worth so much more than any profit that he could get, no matter how many fields he bought, no matter how many houses he butted up against each other, and no matter how many blocks he owned, it wouldn't make any difference. His soul is too important for that. I wish that every lost person could get a good look at their soul. and see how important it is and where they're going to end up when they leave here, if they're not ready to go or if they are ready to go, where do they go from here? Material goods, I wish for every one of us as much as we can get that's within the lines of necessary. If it's not within the lines of necessary, what good is it for us? I know we make statements like, I just want enough to live on. I've made that before, and that's all I got. I just want enough to live on. Did you live on that? How many of y'all made that statement before? I just want enough to live on. And you lived on it, right? And I don't know where your ambitions lie. I don't know how far you go, but I'm just saying that this is, it's scriptural, and we just need to guard against it. And it doesn't mean that only Rockefeller could be the one who was here. It could be the person who doesn't have what Rockefeller had, who had what I had. I could have gotten outside the lines also. You could have gotten outside the lines. You're not Rockefeller. You're not a multimillionaire or a billionaire, are you? If you are, please confess, because I'd like to know who I'm standing in front of tonight, okay? So he says, ambition for material things is not good. You get outside the necessary, you got too much to take care of. It takes your time. It takes your mind. I know how easy it is to get more. I've got two outside buildings. I need one more outside building because Jimmy wants to bring some of his stuff down to my house. If you get more outside buildings, you'll fill them up with more stuff. That's the way we're made. So stay inside the lines. Keep what's necessary. In fact, we've made this statement that as soon as we get a kitchen back where we can wash dishes in the sink, putting a dishwasher in, but we wash dishes in the sink, until we can cook from the stove, until we can use our refrigerator, until we can get back to some normalcy. That would be so good to be able to get back there. Well, we've made the decision that once we get that done, we're going to go out and pull everything out of those buildings. So when we do that, we're going to let you all know so you can be over there and pick what you want. I told Jimmy I was bringing a lot of my stuff up to his house and putting his building, and he notified me right away there was no room in his building. I've seen it, and I would have to say amen. So you see how easy it is. I made that statement about the buildings because everybody's got a bit, well, some don't have buildings. Some have garages, and they put as much stuff as they can get in a garage. I know, and the stuff I have is stuff that I thought would come in handy someday. Everything in my buildings, I thought that'll come in handy someday. I think out of 1,000 times that the opportunity has come, maybe once or twice it came in handy. The rest of it, it's been in that building for 5 to 8 to 10 years. It's time to clean it out, right? Say amen. Get me to work here. Lynn needs to come over and get some of my stuff. I've got things that would help him in his business, I'm sure. So, are we ambitious about the material goods? I know that's we laugh about some things because it's a human thing, right? You all live the same way I live, more than likely, because you're seeing what I'm talking about and you're laughing about it. Anthony even bought a warehouse so he'd have more space for his stuff. And he's got to empty that thing out. So if you want more, if you're looking for more, just get ambitious and go down there, okay? Stay inside the lines. You know what? If we stayed inside the lines with the material things that we could have, we'd have better times in church services because we wouldn't be thinking about anything but what we've got that's necessary to live. I'll write a book, right? But then we go outside because the material things, that's where we mostly live. And most of you aren't considering a higher status in this life, right? You're happy where you are, and you don't want to go any higher in the realm you're in. Is there anything wrong with going up in your place of work? Say no, because it's not. There's nothing wrong with going up in the place you work, because if you usually, when you go up, you get a raise in salary, and you're able to pay your bills a little easier and maybe get a few things, you know, that you need, things that are necessary. And so status, let's see what he has to say. He says, though his excellency mount up to the heavens. That's high. How high do you want to go? Though his excellency mount up to the heavens and his head reach into the clouds, yet he shall perish. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? You know where he is? His head's in the clouds. He just went too high to where. Have you ever known people that you just couldn't reach? I mean, it just seemed like they had this space around them, and no matter how you wanted to get to know them better, you just couldn't, because my dad used to have a saying, they were on their high horses. Now, that's not as high as the clouds, but we know what he meant by that. They're on their high horse. And the higher you want to go in whatever you're in, just go to where you can handle that and live the good life, because it doesn't make any difference if you got the, by the way, if you get the top spot, you're easier to get rid of. If that's where you're going in your status, you go to the top, look out, because somebody's going to be a headhunter and they're going to get you, right? Okay, so he's saying, don't get too ambitious about how high you want to go. Go as high as you can within the limits, and let it go with that, okay? So if you've lost touch with people, maybe your head is in the clouds. Don't lose touch with people. You know, the people that mean more to you than anybody is your family and your church family. Don't add anybody else to that. The people you work with, you know, have a good relationship with them, but pay close attention to your family. Pay close attention to your church family, because this is where it is. I promise you, it's where it is. And if you get outside that and you get your head in the clouds because of your status, it's not going to be good. There were some folks who built a tower, the Tower of Babel. You remember that? And they were going to take it where? To the heavens. I mean, you talk about an ambitious person. He was going to take that thing to the heavens. Now, he didn't know much. He didn't know a whole lot. He could have went to the top of Rome Mountain and built his tower, and he wouldn't have gotten any closer than he did if he was building it down in the valley somewhere. Just too much space. But he was ambitious, and he said, that's what we're going to do. He said, let's build a city and a tower that will reach heaven, and let us make us a name. Remember that? Let us make us a name. Why would you want to build a tower to heavens? He just said it. So that you would be the one who would be known to have built a tower to heaven. And the things that we do in our ambitious moments, we do it so that we can be the one who did it. That's ambition gone too far. We ought not to care if we're going to do something that's worth something to somebody else. And he may have thought that he might help somebody else if he built a tower to heaven. That just maybe somebody would climb those golden stairs and get there by themselves, and they would be happy, happy in heaven, and it wasn't going to work. And nothing we're going to do that's similar to that, it's not going to work either. Status. How high do you want to go? What are your goals down here? Are they set too high for the status that you want? If they're set too high, you probably know it. because it becomes what I talked about this morning. It becomes a stress to you. If you've set up too high and you're working too hard at it, and you're got your head in the clouds, and you're cutting off conversations and fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're taking it too far. Don't take it that far. I'm not trying to tell you how to live. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And if you can take these verses of Scripture and live by them, maybe you could come up with the message a little bit better with these verses than I did. Just talking about ambition. I'm for ambition to a point. I've been ambitious. I have. I bought a 56 Chrysler New Yorker for $75. Now that's being ambitious. I bought a 50 Plymouth one time for $150. That's being ambitious. My best purchase, Anthony, was a 1955 Crown Victoria Ford, $400. See, I'm going up, right? I'm going up. Well, I loved that 55 Crown Victoria. Man, I was in hog heaven. Even though other people had cars worth 15, 20, 20, 30 more times of what my $400 Crown Victoria, I loved that Crown Victoria. And the Lord knew I loved that Crown Victoria. I'd love to have been able to do a few things to it and spruce it up a little. One Christmas Eve, I was going out King Springs Road, and it was snowing to beat the band. Road was slick as it could be, and so were my tires. I was going up the hill, and somebody couldn't make it, and they stopped right in the middle of the road. I saw them, and I knew I couldn't stop. If I stopped, I couldn't get going. So I went out. I was going to go out around them. Well, the guy coming down the hill, I guess he thought, well, if you're going to take my side, I'll take your side. But when I went back onto my side, and I was okay, I went back onto my side, he decided he was going to stay there. And at the last moment, I cut back over to miss him, and he cut back over at the same time. So you know whose side I hit him on? His side. Head on. My little 55 Crown Victoria Ford went to Sweeney's. Sweeney's Junkyard. Man gave me $50 for it. I went by the next day or two, and he'd already sold the engine out of it for $175. I felt so sick. I'm just telling you a few stories like this because this gives me a chance to tell you. You can make them as big as you want to. I'm just telling you the stories that I've had in my life. I thought too much about that 55 Crown Victoria Ford. I did. And the Lord said, I'll let you get a $75 Chrysler then. That's when I got the $75 Chrysler, by the way. So how big are our goals, and are they set too high for our status? Well, you'll have to make that decision. Just where is your ambition? I want us all to have ambition. I want us to have ambitions here at the church. But I don't want us to get too big for our britches. And that's not a holdback. I hope you know I am not a holdback guy. I've been here for 30-some years, and I've never been a holdback. In fact, there are times when I wanted to do some things that there were holdbacks on it, but we did it anyway. So I'm not a holdback guy. I'm just saying let's do everything we can do, but let's make sure. And I have never, ever put a congregation of people in debt so much that the church was stressed. But we did what we could. And we did it. And God has blessed. So I'm just saying, let's be ambitious here and let's get things done, because we've got people now who can help do things, and I want to see it happen. And I've got a young man here who's helping get it done. And so let's work together, okay? And see it happen. But let's make sure we keep a rein on our ambitions because they can get out of, outside the lines. But then there's another one, power. I'm not going to say a whole lot about power because I don't know a whole lot about power. I know that most power people who have ambitions are usually in politics. Politics is totally for power, folks. Don't get misled about that. It's for power and money, and that's where most of it is. But in the Bible, there were two fellas who first started this thing, and that was James and John. Remember what they said? They said, Lord, grant us that we may sit one on your right hand, remember, and the other on the left hand. In thy glory. They were, they wanted to be elevated. They knew that if they could get on the right and on the left, that was a position of power, and it was a position of power in his glory. Now they weren't thinking right, and the Lord knew they weren't thinking right, and he set them straight. But they were too ambitious. They weren't letting the Lord decide. They were asking, Lord, would you please do this? I want to sit one on the left and one on the right, and then we'll be in high cotton. That wasn't the only one. David had a son called Absalom. Remember Absalom? Well, Absalom, it's said of this, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me or you. I've got two gates in my backyard, and I'm not ever going to go out there and just stand by one of the gates. If you ever come by my house and I'm standing by one of those gates, actually there's three. If you ever see me just standing there beside one of those gates, call somebody really quickly and get me some help. I need help because there's nothing about standing by the gate that says that I'm going to be more powerful if I stand beside the gate. But in this case, it was because at the gate was where all the people of power stood. The politicians, they all gathered at the gate. It was the gathering place. They didn't have a White House. They had a gate, and they all met at the gate, and that's where they stood. And so Absalom rose up early. He was ambitious, right? I rise up early. That doesn't mean I'm that ambitious because I get up early. It's just at 5 o'clock, my eyes open. And if I can get them to close back until 5:30, I'm doing pretty good. Because I want out of that bed and my dogs want me out of the bed. Because as soon as I get up and they hear my feet on the floor, they go down there and start whining around the front door. They want outside. Even though they've got a doggy door, they're ambitious too. Are y'all happy? Are we talking about power? That's what we're talking about. You say, well, I don't have any reason to be ambitious about power. Maybe so, maybe not. Maybe one out of everybody who's in here is in this position where you could say, well, maybe if I got up into more power. You know why people get into politics? For the power? Because then they can get richer. To get more power is to get richer. They can decide what happens with the land they own. They can decide what happens with the area they work in or live in. And it's power, and it leads to more money. Don't forget what I just said. It leads to more money. Because at the end of this thing, I'm going to tell you why I said that. So, Absalom didn't make a good decision here. He traded what he wanted to do out by the gate and didn't take care of his family. I've seen many pastors do this. Spent more time at the church handling a 75 or 100 people and letting their family go to waste. Not taking care of their children. Not helping get them where they need to be and taking an interest in them and getting there. It would have been better for my son Les had I not taken so much interest in him. Because when he was in the second grade... I've told you this before. Some of you haven't, but I'll tell you this. I was a terrible dad. He was in the second grade out at Central Elementary School. And the fourth graders were out for football. and he wanted to play football. I went to Sears, where I worked. I knew they had football helmets in the sporting goods department. I bought him a helmet. Didn't have any padding in it, but it was a helmet. And I put him out there on the field with those fourth graders and said, go get them, boy. I wanted him to be an All-American football player, and he was getting killed. Just thought I'd let you know, Les, I'm telling my sins now. I liked to got him killed. That wasn't the only time I liked to got him killed, but he understands. He couldn't fuss about it because I might put him into greater jeopardy. But Absalom gave up the love for his family so that he could go down and stand by the gate. That's my point. Did I make it? His children needed him at home. His wife needed him at home. But he was down there with the power people trying to make another spot for himself. It didn't work, by the way. Goodness gracious, he didn't have to do that. He was the king's son. And for most of the time, most people don't have to do that. They just want to do that because they've got such an ambitious way to live. You know how he died? God put an end to him. You remember how he died? Going down the road with on a horse, and he had long hair. That was back when long hair was in. And he had long hair. And God caused his long hair to get caught in the limb, and he died hanging himself from that limb by his hair. Now, here was a guy who was hanging out down at the gate wanting to get more power in his life. It didn't work. God cut it close. By the way, there was one even before that, Lucifer. Do you remember him? He did the same thing. He wanted more power. I'm not going to take you into him because you know what he was. He had these high ambitions that he was going to take over God's position, and that's all he could think about. Well, his desire for it all didn't come out very good, did it? Ambition out of control is of the devil, and it is for him. He'll take advantage of it, and he'll ruin you. He will, because if that's where we are, if we're out of control ambitions, we've lost sight of where we're supposed to be. We're in, our heads in the clouds, remember? Our heads in the clouds. We're not where we should be with our fellow man. We're not staying in touch face to face. Boy, do we, in this day and time, we need face to face. We need to touch each other. We need to get so close to our fellow man that we're within reach. And we need to look each other in the eye and tell each other how much we love each other. Let's not let all these ambitious moments take us away from each other. Because it's the world's philosophy. It's not a Christian's philosophy, by the way. If you're living by the Word of God, nowhere in the Word of God does it tell us that this is the philosophy for us to live, that we should want more and more and more and go for it. Sounds good to the world, but not to the things of God. Well, with all three of these things that was mentioned, could you get any of them without money? Think through them. Materials? Nope. Can't get materials without money. Material goods? Can't do it. Can you get power without money? Nope. Can't do it. Not today. Not yesterday and not tomorrow. Could you get a place of status without money? No. Probably got money, right? Nothing wrong with the money. Nothing wrong with the status. Nothing wrong with the power. Nothing wrong with the materials. It's where we carry it too far. Now I'm going to tell you what it's going to tell you. The love of money is the root of all evil. I just tied it together. The love of money is the root of all evil. So if that's the direction you're going, be careful why you're going there. What you're going to do with it. Let's bow our heads. That's a life lesson. It's not a salvation message. it's a message for us Christians to keep our eyes open, have ambition, but keep our eyes open and our ears open, listening to the Lord as to how far we take it. Stay in touch with your family. Stay in touch with your church. Stay in touch with the Lord. Amen. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us, please, in prayer?